Would you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. While you find that, I want to tell you a little story about a young teenager that had returned from his very first 3D movie. And he was telling his mom about the event, and she didn't really seem to get it. So he tried to tell her, "Look, Mom," he said, "I got really excited. When you put on these glasses," he said, "you watch the movie and things jump out at you." She didn't seem really impressed. And he said, "Mom, you put these glasses on and things jump out at you." And she said, "You paid for that?" She says, "I get that very thing when I walk into your room. I don't have to pay for it. I don't need special glasses." You know, it does take, if you remember, if you're in that movie, things don't really come to life until you put the glasses on. Have you been there? Have you seen done that? You know that if you don't put these little special glasses on, you don't get the full grip and view of the movie. Well, you know what? What most people see as Easter, what most of the world views as Easter, they view from a 1D, if you will, a one-dimensional perspective, only one side. They celebrate Resurrection Sunday as only one part, and that is the past event. Because Resurrection Sunday is so much more than that, I'd like for us, if you will, to put on our glasses, our 3D glasses, and take a three-dimensional look at Easter, Resurrection Sunday. Now, it's true that the resurrection of Christ Jesus is a past event, but it also has present-day ramifications. Amen? And it certainly has future expectations. This Easter, this Resurrection Sunday, on this day, I want us to take just a few moments together to look at all three dimensions of Resurrection Sunday. First, as we look to the past, we hear a proclamation. The proclamation from God that Jesus lived, Jesus died, and Jesus rose. Amen? Secondly, I want us to consider the present as we experience the presence and the power of Christ Jesus in our lives. And third, I want us to contemplate the future as we celebrate a promise that God has given us because of the resurrection. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's Word? First, we're going to look at the proclamation from the past. So the first thing we think about is, and it really should be, an event that already happened. Now, Paul crisply summarizes what happened in Christ's life. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, first of all, verses 1 through 5. He said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which you also are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen by Cephas," that is Peter, "and then by the 12. Would you pray with me? Father, we're so thankful for Your Word. Again, as we expressed earlier, Father, we don't have enough words to express enough thanks, but Lord, help us to try. What a difference it makes when our children appreciate and express appreciation, so we know, Lord, that that is Your heart as well. So we want to express our praise, our thanksgiving, our appreciation for all You've done. And Christ Jesus, that You gave Your life, that You rose again, and that today we celebrate life because of Your resurrection. We bless Your name. Would You help us not only to hear, but to heed and to practice Your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. So the first thing we think about, of course, is the past proclamation. that Jesus Christ lived, that he died on the cross, and that he rose again. Now, we know this. We know this because he lives in our heart. Jesus was raised from the dead. This is the proclamation of Resurrection Sunday. That's what people call Easter. For us, it's not just Easter. It's Resurrection Sunday. Jesus Christ came into our history, and he lived among us. He became human just like us, and he perfectly faced everything that we face, even death. He perfectly faced it in obedience to the Father, but death could not hold him. Amen? On the morning of the third day, on that Sunday morning, Christ Jesus rose, and Christ's tomb of death became a womb of life. Christ's resurrection transformed death from something permanent to sleep. That's why throughout the New Testament, they call death of a saint or a believer, of a Christian, they call it sleep, not death. Christ's resurrection transformed death to temporary sleep. It transformed the end of life to the beginning of eternal life. What a difference Christ made. What a difference his resurrection made. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus Christ foretold of his death and his resurrection three different times. In chapter 16, in chapter 17, in chapter 20, Jesus Christ told his disciples, told his followers that he would have to lay down his life, that his body would have to be broken, that his blood would have to be spilled, but that he would defeat it, and that he would come back, and that he would not leave them alone. Folks, Jesus did what he said he was going to do. He fully obeyed the Father to the nth degree, did everything he was supposed to, everything that he should, everything that God's Word said that the Messiah would do. So here's a secret for you. Are you ready for this? If you don't write this down or it's not in your bulletin, you ought to write this down. If you really want to know how to live on this earth, you know what you should do? You should follow the one who lived, but death could not hold. Amen? That's the one you need to follow. Not the one who seems to have victorious just in this life, but one who has victory in death. Dear friend, do not go through today and miss the proclamation. To the world, Easter may be about a little candy and eggs and an Easter bunny, but our celebration is about a past event that is so significant that it has never been repeated. It validates everything that Jesus Christ said and taught, and it even verifies who Jesus is. God, the God of life, who overcomes death. And all God's people said, amen. Just like the commercial on TV. But wait, there's more. You've seen the commercials. Wait, there's more. The resurrection is also a present dimension as well. Yes, it's about the past and what Jesus did, but it's also about today. Folks, if you don't live for what he gives you today, you miss so much of what God has for you. Our celebration of Easter is about something that is happening, not just has happened. Jesus Christ is a living presence. He's alive. He appeared to many believers. He appeared to many, and Paul describes this in chapter 15, verses 5 through 8. So keep your Bible open. We're going to read from that yet again after this time. In verse 5, we pick up there. We've already read that once. It says, and he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. And after that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained to the present. Now, what does that mean? That means at the time that this was written, that Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, most of those people who had seen Jesus Christ alive were still alive at this time. So they were still witnessing. They were still testifying that they had seen the risen Christ. It says, but some have fallen asleep. Now, what does that word sleep mean? Does that mean that they went to bed for the night? No, it means that their body had expired, and that they were going to be awakening again at the next resurrection. He said then, after that he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, and then last of all he was seen also by me as by one born out of due time. Dear friends, God's word tells us that Jesus Christ was alive, and that makes a difference. That makes a difference in our life, because it wasn't just something that we celebrated in the past, but the empty tomb tells us that Jesus Christ is no longer dead. The empty tomb says Jesus is not dead, but there's something more. Folks, his appearing and his presence declare he's alive. Listen, it could have been, if Jesus just disappeared and was never seen again, that we had some doubts. Maybe it could have been like the soldiers said, that they fell asleep on duty and that somebody came and robbed Jesus out of the tomb. But he didn't just come out of the tomb so that there was an empty tomb. Jesus was alive. Jesus resurrected. Jesus was walking. Jesus was talking. Jesus Christ is a living presence. He doesn't leave us. Jesus Christ is with us every moment of every day, giving us strength, giving us peace, and giving us hope. He's with us still today. He's with us in everything we do, literally, as God's word says, till the end of time. So be careful, friends. Let me tell you, be very careful in the way that you refer to the man upstairs, if you will, because that's not a very respectful terminology for the God of all. Amen? For the Lord of the universe, for the creator of all. Be careful, because Jesus is not just the man upstairs. God is not just the man upstairs. He's just not that person that lived way back there. He's not just a person who stays way up there, or the God way out there. Jesus is everywhere. Jesus is Emmanuel. He is here with us. That's what Emmanuel means, God with us. Kind of interesting, a few years ago, there was an advertisement for what they called Safety Man. I don't know if anybody remembers Safety Man, but Safety Man was a lifelike dummy that had very detailed facial features. He had hair. He had eyebrows. You could even put real clothes on them. They were life-size, and you were supposed to put them, buckle them in the seat beside you so that you didn't look like you were alone. Because the creator of this life-type dummy said, you're safer if other people think that you're not alone. Well, I think a lot of people got a little carried away with it, and some of them got tickets for getting in the HOV lane by themselves with the dummy. Do you remember that? Okay, you do remember that. Safety Man, so that you wouldn't be alone. Dear friend, this is Resurrection Sunday. And Resurrection Sunday is a reminder that we have a better option than Safety Man. Amen? We've got a much better option. We are never alone. We are never by ourselves. Our Savior lives. We have the presence of the sovereign, almighty, wonderful, loving, and true God. He came down to where we are. He faced the critical issues of life. He conquered sin and sorrow, and he won victory over death. And now he goes with us everywhere we go. Everywhere we go. Now, wait a minute. I said everywhere we go. We praise and we pray and we wonder, did he really go there with me? Listen, he goes everywhere we go. If you belong to the Lord, he never leaves you nor forsakes you, no matter what you do. Life is just too scary to live alone. Nobody wants to be alone. The good news of Resurrection Sunday is this. You don't have to. You don't have to be alone. For those who have faith in Jesus Christ, for those who have faith in the resurrected Lord, Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, that verse we've been sharing all morning, he says, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. Easter is a past fact, no doubt about it. Jesus Christ lived, died, and resurrected from the tomb. But it's also a present day fact, because he is present here with us today. He is present with you. But there's one more dimension that we need to talk about. Easter is also a future event. Look with me again in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 12. It says, "Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is empty." We might as well go home, is what he's saying. He said, why do we serve the Lord? Why do we praise the Lord? Why do we pray? If Christ is not risen from the dead, there is no hope. Go live your life. Eat, drink, and be merry. Don't worry about it, right? But he's saying, yes, he is risen. In verse 15, he says, "We are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up. If in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen." Do you know what he's saying? He's saying that people are saying, oh, he hasn't risen. And that if you believe that, then you might as well give up on your resurrection as well. But he said, if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you're still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. Do you understand what he's saying? He's saying that if the very thing that we celebrate on Resurrection Sunday is not true, he said we are to be pitied for trying to follow Christ. If it's not about his life, death, and resurrection, then we're lost. Resurrection is about something that will happen for us as well. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus was buried in a tomb. Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus defeated death, not just for himself, but for you. When Jesus abolished death, it was not just for himself. It was for all believers, all who believed in him. You know, one of the most difficult tasks for a pastor is walking with a family through the death of a loved one. When somebody in your family dies, it impacts me as well, because you're loved by your pastor. You're cared for by your pastor. Many times I've been there for people. I've been there for many of you in the time of a loss of a loved one. And you're not alone. Do you realize that over 150,000 people die every day? According to that, death is life's most tragic experience. And it still is. Death creates a vacuum where life once was. Death leaves an emptiness that nobody can readily fill. You know, there are so many times at a funeral that I tell people, look, y'all need to step up. You need to fill the shoes of the one who's gone. Especially if they were a great witness and a great worker and a great family person. Just say, look, y'all need to step up. Y'all need to do the things that they were doing and carry on the good things that were going on. Death leaves an emptiness. And even though others may step in, it's never quite the same, is it? When we lose one we loved, it's never quite the same. How can it be? Jesus knows this, though, people. He understands this. He has experienced both sides of death. He lost dear friends, and he himself died. But he knows the answer. You know, on that dark Friday, again, that only in retrospect can we call Good Friday. But on that dark Friday, death did something terrible to our Jesus. Death did something awful to our Savior. But on that next Sunday morning, Jesus did something wonderful to death. Jesus killed death. How do you do that? With his life. On that Sunday, Jesus won. In verse 55 of chapter 15, if you were to go down and look down there, it says that Jesus took the sting out of death. It says, oh, death, where is your sting? Death, where is your victory? The sting of sin is death. Folks, you don't fear a wasp that's buzzing around your door if you know it doesn't have a stinger. You don't fear the bees and the hornets and whatever else is out there when they're swarming around. You don't worry about them if they didn't have stingers, but you do worry about them. Death no longer has a stinger. Christ Jesus has removed the sting of death. It no longer hurts. It's not something we have to fear. Jesus turned the deathly tomb into a spiritual womb. When Jesus came back from the grave, he replaced the fear of death with the death of fear. Friends, we have that hope. I want to close with two truths. I know that because of the relationship that we have with those who are now gone, some of my own family, my father, my sister, granddaughter, friends, we know that just because we're Christians doesn't take away all the hurt. We know that because of the loss of relationship with the one that is now gone, it's just not possible for a Christian to look into death's tomb without some hurt. Amen? We lose that relationship, and even though we can be glad for them where they're going, we still have a sense of loss, a sense of pain. So even death's tomb for Christians has some hurt. But here's the second truth, and I want you to hold to this one. It is not possible for us as Christians to look into the darkness of death without hope. We have hope because we have Christ. Hope that grows out of a relationship with the one that death could not hold, Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 says this, "But Christ has risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." See, he lays out this little passage here saying, well, if he's not alive, we're in trouble. If he's not alive, we're those who have gone before have perished. If he's not alive, we're to be pitied. But he says, if he is alive, you need to understand this. Christ is risen from the dead. He has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Now, what does it mean when he says first fruits? Now, first fruits is used in another passage when it talks about giving, when it talks about tithing, when it talks about giving gifts. It says that you're to bring your first fruits to the Lord. So, in other words, if you bring the first fruits to the Lord, you have some left over, right? You've got that you didn't bring to the Lord. So the first fruits is just the beginning of what's to come. Well, it's the same way with Jesus Christ. Paul said he is the first fruits of those who have risen from the dead. So if he is the first fruits, that means there's more fruit to come, right? If Jesus was the first fruits, that means there's more fruit to come, right? If Jesus is the first fruits, that means there's more fruit to come, right? Yeah. And guess what? Y'all too. That's us. We're the rest of the fruits. Now, if you've ever been called a fruit before, this is different. This is good fruit. This is good fruit. God's Word says that He is the first fruit of those to come, which means He is the first one resurrected. He raised from the dead by His own strength and power. We are coming after Him, and we are going to be raised from the dead. We don't have to fear death. You see, because He lives, we shall live as well. Christ lives. Whoever you are, whatever you have done, whatever you have become, you can still have everything that I've spoken of this morning, everything that Christ offers. You can experience God's presence wherever you go. You can walk with Him. You can talk with Him. You can claim the promise of heaven from Him for your future, as well as the promise of His presence today. You can have that. But it's a locked door. You've got to have the key. You've got to have the key. You know, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. No man. No woman. No child. No one comes to Him, to the Father, but through Jesus Christ. If He's the door, what's the key? Dear friend, the Bible says that the faith that opens the door of Christ into heaven and eternal life is faith. Faith in God. Faith in what Jesus did. You have to accept God's proclamation of the past. You have to understand and believe that Jesus died, that Jesus was buried, that on the third day He rose again. You have to believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You have to confess your sins to Him, and you have to ask Him for forgiveness. These things you have to do. It is the only work, listen to me, it is the only work that you are able to do to get to heaven. No other work counts. The only work that you can say that you have done is faith in Christ. Isn't it wonderful to know that God does all the rest? God loved you so much that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Here's a question. Will you continue to live in fear of death? Or will you accept the gift of God through the work of Christ Jesus and let Him put your fear to death? Amen? Only Christ can kill the fear. Because He lives, we know that we shall live as well. And that, my friends, helps us face anything that comes our way. Would you pray with me? Father, we are so thankful for Your Word. We're so thankful, Father, for Your presence, for Your Holy Spirit that puts in our heart an understanding that what we see and what we read is true. Father, that Jesus Christ is alive, that our Savior rose from the dead, that our Lord Jesus has gone to prepare for us a place in heaven, and that He's coming back to take us home. Oh, Lord God, make our hearts ready. Help us, Lord, not only to give praise, but to sing it loud. Praise to You and testimony among people that they might know Christ. With your heads bowed, dear friends, I want to give you this opportunity. Do you know for certain right now, I mean right this very moment, if you were to die today, if something were to happen on your way home, I pray it does not, but if something were to happen on your way home, and your life would be taken, would you go to heaven? Have you placed your faith and trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior? You know you can. He said it only takes one work, and that's faith. Trust in Him. Believe He's God's Son. Believe that He came to this earth. Believe He died on the cross. Scripture then says, and then confess it with your mouth. You must tell others. Confess Him with your mouth. Ask God for forgiveness. And God's Word says that if you will ask Him in faith, He will forgive and cleanse all unrighteousness. Perhaps this morning you do not have that assurance. I hope and pray that today you'll make sure. All you have to do is come tell me, or you can pray right where you're at and ask God to forgive your sins, come into your life. But if you'd like the pastor to pray with you, I'll be here. I also want to ask you, are you living a dead life when you serve a risen Savior? Would you like to get back to serving Him in a live testimony? You return to Him. Ask God for forgiveness. Return, repent, and be revived in Christ. God offers this. It's offered to you right now, this morning.